the new GTLD continuing operations session. I'm Christine Ouellette, Vice President GTLD Operations. I'd like to introduce to you my team today. Here at the panel, we have Francisco Arias, Director Technical Services for ICANN. Hi, Francisco. We have Mike Guider from JAS Global Advisors. He is the Ebro Program Manager. Bill Yang, also on the panel from JAS Global Advisors. He's the Senior Technical Advisor to the Ebro Program. I'd also like to introduce some of our esteemed guests and providers here today for the Ebro Program. Werner Staub from Core Association. Would you like to say something?
Yes, I'm just saying a couple of words because I'm just one of the members of the Oversight Committee that we institute at CORE together with two other gentlemen, Amadeo and Ilya here. But the team that's handling the Ebro is in Dortmund, Germany, led by Elmar Knipp, and he unfortunately couldn't come. He usually comes to ICANN meetings, but he couldn't come this time.
Thank you. And from Scenic, our second Ebro provider, Mr. Huang. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Xiangyang Huang from Computer Network Information Center of Chinese Academy of Sciences and also CNIC. It's my great pleasure to participate in this session and also to introduce our collaborative work with ICANN and on the Ebro project. I would like to introduce my team. These two gentlemen, please stand up. They're young and energetic. We have Dr. Nanfeng. He's the Ebro Program Manager. And we have Dr. Zhu Hongbin. He's the Ebro Event Coordinator. We also have a team composed with more than 30 dedicated staffs supporting the Ebro functionally. And they are fully prepared and deeply committed to fulfill this important responsibility. During the past years, we have been actively exploring means to make the internet more secure and reliable. We know that ICANN also has the same goal of promoting consumer trust and healthy development operation of internet. We respect to our common pursuit. We have been continuously cooperating with ICANN as a strategic partner for many years. We also see Ebro project as a catalyst to further enhance our relationship and realize our common goal according to our understanding for public interests. Above all, we are fully committed to use our infrastructural and technological capacity to support ICANN's objective as safeguarding the rights and interests of registrars and the broader internet community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I'm going to turn the presentation over to Francisco for the panel presentation, and then we'll take questions and answers at the end.
Thank you, Christine. So today we are covering this session three topics: service level agreement monitoring system, the registry reporting interface, and the Ebro program. Service level SLA monitoring system, as we call it, the origin of having this system has to do with the core value of ICANN of preserving the and enhancing the operational stability, reliability, and security of the internet. And what we are doing is proactively monitoring the five critical functions as defined in the registry agreement for all new ETLDs. And we have the mechanism, the Ebro, to restore the critical functions in case of an emergency. What are these critical functions? As defined in the registry agreement, they are DNS and DNSSEC, RDDS, this is who is and web who is, EPP, which is the protocol that is used to interact between registries and registrars to create and manage the domain names And the five critical function is data escrow, which is the process by which the registries deposit a copy of their registration database with a third party, a data escrow agent. So all these functions are being monitored in the case of the services, DNS, DNSSEC, EPP, and WHOIS and WebWHOIS. The check is to make sure that they are working as they are supposed to be working. There is also a check on the response time of these services. Finally, there is a requirement in terms of how long it has to pass between an update to a domain name, for example, and the time that is this is propagated into the DNS and the WHOIS or WebWHOIS. This is the SLA as appears in the new utility-based agreement. You can see there the specific numbers. I'm not going to go through them. If you're interested in looking in detail, you can find the register agreement in the new ETLD Microsoft of ICANN. The register agreement also contains what are called the emergency thresholds. These are defined as the thresholds after which for a failure in one of these critical functions, the operation of the of a TLD will be passed to the Ibero. So there is the link between the SLA monitoring system and the Ibero. The SLA monitoring system provides the information that is needed for the Ibero to know, for the Ibero team to know that something is it's maybe wrong and they need to take over the operation of a TLD. The SLA monitoring system is comprised of several probe nodes that are distributed around the internet. And in order for something to be considered a problem in a specific service, several nodes must agree, let's say, that something is wrong with a specific service. In other words, it's not enough with having one probe node saying that the DNS for certain TLD is not working. You have to have a certain number of probe nodes identifying a problem in order for us to consider that a problem. So we are sending continuously queries in DNS, EPP commands, and WHOIS queries to see what's the status of the services in the new ETLDs. Currently, we have 40 probe nodes around the world. And we have two central processing servers that are accumulating, aggregating the information, and those are the servers that trigger the alerts in case any of the thresholds are reached. This is a graphic representation of how you will see it. So where do we place the nodes, the probe nodes? We have two types of services. DNS and WHOIS are public services that are provided for anyone in the internet to use. So they have to be as near as possible to the networks with the most users across the internet and the different geographic locations. On the other hand, EPP is a service that is provided by the registry to the registrars. And there we try to be as close as possible to where the registrars will access the registries systems. This is a picture showing the actual location of the current nodes. There you can see we try to distribute the nodes based on the internet population and different parts of the world, and also trying to cover all the five geographic regions in which ICANN divides the world. In terms of the interactions with the SLA monitoring system with the other components in the new utility program, so the SLA monitoring system will produce, if something is seen as potentially failing, an incident will be raised and will be sent to the NOC, the ICANN NOC. The ICANN NOC will validate the incident, and if the incident is confirmed, then it will be a notification will be sent to the emergency contacts of the registry, so they can act before we, for example, reach the emergency thresholds. The idea is here, as soon as we see something that looks like it's a problem in a registry, we'll notify them so they can start mitigating the issue. We don't wait until it's already, until we reach the emergency threshold, for example. There is also reports that are generated to compliance, so they can do their function within ICANN. And there is also alerts that are generated for the Ibero team, so they can also act upon those alerts. This is the workflow for the processing of the incidents. I don't think it's really need to go into detail into this. And this is what I was talking about, the different thresholds. We have defined several thresholds in the system, so we don't wait until the emergency thresholds are reached. We are proactively looking to make sure that the TLDs are working, so we don't have to use an extreme measures such as the Ibero. Again, more diagrams. I don't think we need to go into this level of detail. Operational milestones in terms of the SLA monitoring system. We have we're still working on the SLA monitoring system. We have, at this point, since October, released the monitoring of the DNS and WHOIS. That's what we are testing now. And in December, we are going to have the full functionality of the SLA monitoring system, meaning we will have EPP. That's the part that is missing. We are also modifying the way we are doing the monitoring in the case of DNS. With the conversations in name collision, we have to modify the way we monitor the DNS, for example. We were planning to do the monitoring continuing on a domain name that will be updated. Since that is not possible because of the name collision restrictions, we modified the monitoring to be, for example, checking for the SOA record of the TLD in terms of DNS. And the other thing that we are planning to have ready by December is the ICANN NOC. We are outsourcing this function. We are finalizing the process with the provider, and we intend to have the ICANN NOC fully operational in the next month. Now I'm going to talk about the registry reporting interface. This is the interface that is used for registries and data escrow agents to report to ICANN, and is used for two different purposes: data escrow notifications and the monthly reports sent by the registry operators. And this system interacts internally with other systems and teams inside ICANN. For example, in the case of data escrow, since data escrow is one of the critical functions, if, again, certain thresholds are reached, then the Ibero team is also notified so they can do their part. And same thing with compliance. And in the case of the monthly reports, one of the reports that is required for the registries is the transactions report, that is the domains that were registered, renew, and so on. And this is data that is used by the by finance in ICANN to invoice registries and registrars, at least the part that is related to transactions. As I mentioned before, there are several uses of this interface. We receive the daily notifications from data escrow agents about the deposits that are being made by the registries or the lack of those. The reports from the registry operators also about the deposits that they are doing, and the monthly reports. So when the data escrow agent needs to send ICANN a daily notification when they receive a report, be it invalid, valid, or if it's missing, since the reports are required in a daily basis. The deposits, data escrow deposits are required on a daily basis. So if in a day a deposit is not done, a notification is generated to ICANN. The system also provides, I should really use only one instead of using my laptop. In terms of the monthly reports, what the interface does is validates the monthly reports as provided by the registry operator. This is a function that it's was done for existing GTLDs using email. The registries will send an email to an alias in ICANN and will receive. And a person, and actually it's me, that will receive the reports and upload those reports to a database. Now with this interface, that will substitute that part of the work that I used to do and will automate it and validate that everything is according to the specification in the race agreement. And again, if exceptions are generated, the alerts will be sent to the appropriate parties. This is a graphical representation of the process. I don't think this is really necessary. And finally, the specification of the registry interface can be found in the internet draft that is shown there. I believe if you are an ETLD registry or applicant, you probably know about this one. The interface, the testing interface, has been available to data escrow agents and registry operators since August. The production environment is available already, and we have the first two monthly reports received as of yesterday. And I think that's it. Mike.
Well, thank you, Francisco. We're here today to share some information about the eBurro program. I believe that over the last 2 years, while the eBurro program has been under development, I don't know that we've actually had a presentation on eBurro that really describes the features. So what we've done for today is we've identified these topics. We'd like to begin with the mission. What are we really trying to do? How do we launch the eBurro services? Inspecting for readiness. Readiness is absolutely critical in this type of services. And then we'd like to share a little bit about what is it like to have a TLD in eBurro. It is a little different than the situation for a regular TLD. We're going to just touch on what the master service agreement is, what the commitments are. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how the common transition process that all eBurros will be using works, and some of the key service levels and commitments that are part of that common transition process. And then a few words about customer service. As I'm sure you know, we don't expect very many eBurro events, but when an event occurs, we do think all eyes are going to be on what's happening and then the immediate aftermath thereafter. So we would like to share a couple thoughts about customer service. The mission is simple: protect the registrants. While one of our ways of doing that is to rapidly transition those five critical functions that Francisco discussed earlier into another registry environment or into our eBurro providers, our mission remains to protect the registrant. And to that end, we really do that in two ways. The first way is we try to keep them out of Ebro. And that's one of our missions. That's one of the missions of the ICANN Ebro program, is to do whatever we can to assist in keeping TLDs out of Ebro. And we'll share a little bit about how we do that, how we assess risk going forward. But of course, the second mission that we discussed earlier with Francisco is the rapid movement of the five functions into a new environment. So those are our two missions. So a quick update on status. I mentioned we've been working on this for a couple of years. We had originally 14 respondents to the RFI back in September 2011. And today, and you've been introduced to our first two Ebro partners, we have Scenic and CORE. And I'm pleased to also announce that we underline the word now because we are in standby, in service today. If an event occurred this minute, the response teams are on standby and ready to go. We're also working with contracting on both NuSTAR and Nominet. Hasn't been completed yet, but we're working on that. So let's talk a little bit about launching the service. This is an unusual type of service in that we never want to use this service. We never want to use it. And so because of that, we're not doing it over and over. It's obviously similar to a traditional computer disaster recovery or business continuity program. So readiness is important. And our critical step before asking a partner to go into service is to ask them to, with us, demonstrate their readiness. Once they're up and running and in service, we then have another element of the concept of readiness, and that is practice. Because we're not going to get, you know, five of these a week and do it over and over and over to get better, we literally need to practice, and we're going to. And so with our first two partners in the first quarter of next year, we are going to practice an event. A little bit about what's in an inspection. This is an on-site inspection. We have 47 different questions or inspection probes that we review. It covers staffing and readiness in terms of on-call. It covers all the technical elements of movement of zones and escrow files and so forth. And in fact, the three tests that are specifically conducted are listed there. These are time tests. They're required to be done within the service level time. And you can see what those are. The event exercise is a little different in that we're actually doing two things in our event exercise. Of course, we're going to practice with full timing, the complete movement of or complete transfer in of a TLD into the new Ebro environment. But we're also going to practice something called event level alerts. And the event level alerts I'm going to comment on in a few moments. This is our framework for monitoring and assessing risk that at any specific TLD at any specific time would actually go into need an Ebro transfer in. The folks participating are the Ebro, the escrow agent, and of course ICANN. ICANN has a key part of the actual execution of an event. But we are going to stop short of actually trying to move something into the live route. So our route zone partners We're not going to ask them to do their last step of actually doing a transition. Of course, we'll have a script, the script will be, what we believe will be one of the early types of events. And we will be using simulated data, so it's certainly not an exercise of capacity or volume. It's not that type of exercise. It'll just be our first time with everybody responding as a team and trying to execute this transfer in the shortest amount of time to the standards required. That's what we're going to practice. Well, I'd like to call on my colleague Bill and ask him to share with you a little bit about what it's like to be in a TLD in Ebro compared to a regular registry. Bill?
Thank you, Mike. On the screen behind me, you can see we put side by side a comparison of the critical functions and user experience of registrants and experience that registrars might have while a TLD is located in a standard registry versus in an eBureau. And the first thing we want to stress is that the eBureau is held to the same standards of specification operation as a regular registry operator. All five critical functions meet the Spec 5 standard, or Spec 10 standard, I'm sorry. One of the big differences, though, is that the eBureau, while a registry will do adds and removes, they'll expire, they'll renew, they'll transfer domains back and forth, the eBureau does not. And this is there's some reasons for that, largely having to do with keeping the eBureau out of the financial transactions associated with registry operations. The eBureau is frozen. A registry that moves into eBureau is frozen. It is not working. No new names. No transfers. No expires. No revenue. The registry might have gone through the RSTEP process or negotiated into their RA additional services that aren't part of the standard set of services that a registry would offer as in the base RA. And the eBureau doesn't do that. If there are special security services or widgets or whatever the registry may offer, that's not part of what the eBureau does. The eBureau takes the five functions and the five functions only. Those functions remain the responsibility of the original registry operator. Next slide. Again, normal registries have all this billable stuff. They do, they do all kinds of transactions, and the registry manages that, under the terms of their RRA. But the eBureau doesn't. The eBureau doesn't have those billable events. There are no monetary transactions occurring between the registrar and the eBureau. The registry pays fees to ICANN on a per domain under management basis. But the eBureau doesn't. The eBureau doesn't. There's not. The revenue's not there. Next slide. All right. But Spec 10. It's the same Spec 10. We require our DNS, our DNSSEC, our registration data directory service, and our shared registration system to work the same way. The same performance requirements. Data escrow is governed the same way. The eBureau begins making data escrow deposits as soon as the transition is complete.
Thank you, Bill. Let's transition to the commitments that we've asked our eBureau partners to make through the master service agreement. Our expectation is that all of the contractual commitments are the same for all of the eBureaus. This is a service that we need to not be concerned about which eBureau is selected to have an event and that their terms and conditions and SLAs are different or they're going to execute it differently. So for the general standard terms and conditions, we expect to have very, very few, maybe some minor jurisdictional differences, but we would expect those to be nearly the same. But for the common transition model, and this is the set of steps that we all go through, and the service level commitments, and how we communicate, and when we do it, all of that, plus the fees, are identical for all eBoroughs. So there's no different financial model for each of our eBorough partners. Fees sometimes get a few questions. The fees that we are asking or that we are paying the eBoroughs are aligned with something called Supplemental Note 1.9 of the Applicant Guidebook. Now, for you applicants, you'll know that well because that's the table that you looked up something called a COI value. That's the continuing operating instrument, financial instrument. And that is the amount that you had to commit through an escrow agreement or a letter of credit to have available in case it was needed to pay for eBoro service. And then all of the agreements are 5 years. Because eBoro is new and not something that the community has watched in terms of how ICANN addresses the leadership and governance of the program, I thought I would show a slide that shows the two important roles. And the first is what we call the eBoro Executive Committee. You can see who's on it. Christine here is Vice President of Operations, is on that committee. And the eBoro program is under her direction. But the President of the Global Domains Division and the ICANN General Counsel are on that committee. That committee has basically three roles in the ongoing administration and oversight governance of the eBoro program. One is general oversight of the program. Are we doing the functions that need to be done in a broad sense? But more specifically, when it comes to considering that we might execute an event, then the executive committee is a key component of the review and analysis as we get closer to an event. And I'm going to show you a little bit about how that works. So they do another function is that they can stop an event. And that you'll see that that's a function that may be needed, and it may be needed at the very, very, very last moment, just before the step that transitions that TLD to the root. The event directors, the reason that you see three descriptions there is that we need three event directors ready at all times. It is not possible to make the statement I made in the beginning that says we are ready to take an event now, today, without having at least three individuals that can lead an event. And that's what an event director does. They are the leader of the event. They actually issue the event order that causes the eBoro partner to spring to life and be ready to execute the transfer. You can see the expected event director is the eBoro program director. His first backup is sitting over here in the corner right now. That John Crane, who's the Chief Security and Stability and Resiliency Officer. And if we get to one more, if John's not available, and in this case, I'm not available, the next person up is Bill, sitting right next to me. Over time, these individuals by name will certainly evolve as the program moves forward, but there'll always be three. I'd like to share a few moments about the alert level model. And this is a framework that allows ICANN to monitor and assess the risk of an Ebro event occurring. And it's designed to have different actions take place if our assessment is the risk of it occurring is nearer to now. So, of course, if an event, there's a sudden failure of one or more of the functions, there's no notice per se. Actually, there is notice because the monitoring system actually gives us alerts before we would even consider executing an Ebro event. You saw that table from Francisco earlier, but that's not much time. This primarily is designed that if there's information that ICANN receives in addition to the monitoring, which feeds into this, that we can consider what could we do to help prevent an alert or an event. That's what this is all about. We want to take as many actions as we can to help avert having to go, having to move a TLD into an Ebro environment. So that's our model. There's a lot more detail about it, but I think for today, what I wanted to do is just introduce the principles of that model. So what are the service levels for actually moving a TLD? Well, here they are, and these are the service levels that are contractually committed to by the Ebro partners. If you were to add up the total hours for these service levels to transition all five functions to completely operational state, they total to about 150, or they do total to 150 hours. However, we don't expect to just perform to service level. Our goal isn't to take 150 hours. Our goal is to do this as fast as we can, right, to minimize the impact on the registrants. So here's another way of looking at those service levels if you talk about 0 hour. So at 0 hour, the event director issues this order, and away we go. So DNS and DNSSEC in about 8 hours or less. We then are in a state of waiting for the escrow from the escrow provider of the registry. Then we'll work on SRS, followed by, you know, RDDS and escrow. The service levels were set with an understanding that there would be unexpected events, complications, discrepancies, stuff doesn't work when you don't do it on a frequent basis. And we tried to take all of those things into account when we set these initial service levels that total to 150 hours. But we've been working actively with our partners to bring those numbers down when we actually come into execution. Today, we don't know what the exact number will be. We'll get a little better sense after we practice in January. But we believe that the kind of goals we should have are that the DNS is up in a few hours, way less than 8, and that all of the functions are operational in about a day. So I think it's important for all of us to realize that if we're committed to the mission of protect the registrant, then we have to be committed to keep working to do this as fast and as crisply as possible if we're called on. And the did I get one more? Okay, a quick comment about customer service roles. If an event occurs, there'll be a lot of people that are going to want to contact somebody to talk about something. And, of course, the critically involved partners are the registrars, the Ebro partner, and, of course, ICANN. And I think you can see registrars are responsible for the registrants. The Ebro service is to be responsive to the registrars for those things that are appropriate while it's in Ebro. And ICANN is involved, if necessary, to deal with discrepancies in data, and if there's anything odd, like a court order or something that would be unexpected. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you all for your presentations. We'll now go to question and answer portion of the session. If you'd like to form a queue at the front.
Thank you very much. It's good to see that we're planning around this. Brian Swenson. I wanted to ask a bit more about the Ebro program. First, I'll start with a comment. To fail from working to your backup is very important to test. It's equally important to test to fail from the backup back to working. I understand what those time frames look like and what disruptions can happen. On your program, I want to understand, is there any scale that you're considering? Like if a registrar would say 300 TLDs were to fail, can you support that? Or someone with a very large number of domains, such as like maybe .com, could you support that?
So let me address the second question first. You mentioned .com, and there's the other, I call them the original 22, but they're not original, but the registries that are in operation before the GTLDs are coming up. Those are not in scope of this Ebro design program. And there is work going on to address that. It is a little different everywhere from what the agreement is all the way down to some of the factors of scale. And when you mentioned .com, that's a factor. Bill, would you comment on the other capacity?
Well, I do want to stress that we are talking about registry emergency transition, not registrar emergency transition. So we are not an emergency registrar. We are really only dealing with a registry failure. And from a scaling standpoint, we've planned for over 3 years approximately 150 events covering 3 million domains under management. That's the capacity we've contracted for.
And how many simultaneous events?
We've planned for two right now. We have two Ebros, so each team is single-threaded right now. We actually have a contingency plan for the catastrophic failure you're describing. So we have thought about that problem. The catastrophic failure, we would not have service levels on, but we would restore services in an orderly manner based on the criticality of the service.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wendy Proffitt on behalf of remote participant Alex Mayerhofer. Sorry if I said their name wrong. Do registry operators get access to an example web interface where they can see the current status of their registry as monitored by ICANN? And if yes, will there be an option for machine-readable information that can be integrated into the registry operator's own monitoring system?
Thank you, Wendy. We have planned to have an interface for registries. That would be the interface after the adding the support to EPP. I don't think we have considered yet to do a machine-readable interface. I think it's a fair request, and we will take that into consideration. Thank you.
Mike Pelage. During the presentation, the one table said there would be no billable events during the Ebro. Is that just registry to registrar billable, or would that also impact registrar billing at ICANN? Could you elaborate on the non-billable part one? Part two, what happens when a registry hopefully exits Ebro? Will that registry be able to recover? Because if they missed annual registrations during that period of time, once they come back online, those names, I assume, would continue to resolve. Would that registry operator be able to recoup? So if you could perhaps, I haven't gone through that aspect. I've been focusing on helping get registries up, not necessarily when they fail. But obviously, this is an important point. And if you could perhaps share your thinking on this, it would be helpful. Circle back to JJ and legal. No?
Maybe, but I'll try. The contractual relationships between the registrars and the registry that is in Ibero remains remains in place. That doesn't go away. It's not changed. So what is changed is that the registrars that would normally pay the registry, that just stays in place, okay? ICANN is paying the Ibero to do what most registries are doing anyway, which is paying an RSP back in to do the function that is very similar to what Ibero is. So from a fees viewpoint, it's the responsibility of whatever that contract is on that side. That's my understanding.
So, Mike, the other billable events that were referred to, there are no new registrations to be taken during an Ibero operation. There are no expiration events. So for the registrants also as well, there would be no billable events. So it will require, and one of the reasons we talked about customer service at the end, is that we acknowledge that the registrars who support and work with that registry operator need to be closely coordinated with to manage this transition to an Ibero status for the registrants.
And just to provide a little context to this is, you know, over the 15 years that I've been participating, there have been events where larger scale registrars have failed, and during that registrar failure, the registries have continued to renew names, and when ICANN transitions those registrations to another registrar, sometimes the registries have not been compensated during that transition. So again, I'm asking this from a historical perspective, where ICANN somehow always manages to get paid, but those providing services sometimes do not. So
as I said, looking at it from the registrant's perspective, if there are no renewals, there are no new registrations, no one would be collecting fees in that situation. I will take it back. You also asked a question about the exit and the transition from the Ibero, so I'll take that back as well. Thank you.
Hello, Jordan Buchanan. Just to clarify on that last point of there being no renewals or expiration events, so just to be clear, that means that regardless of the length of registration term at the time of the transition, all registrations would be maintained throughout the Ibero management of the TLD?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Rubinsky, do you have a matrix of specializations for Ibero providers, like Iberos that support IDNs and Iberos that doesn't support IDNs? Because we know at least one issue where not all the Iberos will be able to provide, which is support for domain attributes, storing name servers domain attributes instead of host objects. At least one of them doesn't support domain attributes. So do you have a matrix of features that some Iberos support and some don't?
So all of our Iberos support IDNs as a requirement. So there's parity within that space. I would have to look very specifically at domain name attributes as to, I mean, everyone supports the draft standards for the escrow format. How they internally represent that data is a different question than whether they support the import.
It's not just an internal representation matter, as the registrar interface is expecting to use that metaphor, not another. So registrars are expecting to register at that TLD and update records, because they are allowed to update records with Ibero using domain attributes for that TLD, not using host objects. So the Ibero needs to support that option.
Hey, Romans. I get what you're saying. The way I see it, I think it's an interesting question. The way I see it, the registry escrows the data in either as an object or as an attribute, and then there is a different issue, which is how the Ibero is going to import that data to their database, which I believe is completely independent. They can take something that is, they can take something that is an attribute and convert it to an object because it's their internal representation. Doesn't matter, I think. The other issue that you raise is the interface between the with the registrar. It's a good point. Maybe the registrar is expecting to have that TLD handled in a certain way. However, take into account that the relation between the registrars with the old registry is not the same as the relation with the Ibero. That's a different relation. And perhaps the assumption that they were having before do not apply.
That would make such a transition likely fail because suddenly the mechanism changes. So I think you should probably take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a remote question.
Remote participant Andy G. Has ICANN considered the antitrust implications of allowing CNN and BBC to register their brands in .shabaka, but specifically blocking Al Jazeera from doing so?
So I don't think that question is appropriate for this forum, but thank you for the question. If we don't have any other questions, we'll wrap up this session. Thank you all for your participation, and we'll continue to keep you informed as these operational continuity support mechanisms continue to evolve and enhance. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.